Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Anatole Levin, my veteran guide on Afghanistan. Anatole has helped me over 2 decades observe Afghanistan from its iteration as a Soviet client state in the late 20th century to a complete breakdown of order, a state that did not really stand up to the offensive of the Taliban in the late 20th century, the 1990s, to an American state, a state that was protected by America and the NATO allies, and now another future as yet unnamed. The ambition is independence, but with the withdrawal of U.S. and NATO forces, alliances, the allies who have been serving there, the concern is anarchy. And we go to the BBC report in these last days for Anatole to comment upon. Halo Trust, Afghanistan mine clearance workers shot dead in cold blood. That's in quotes. Masked gunmen have shot dead 10 mine clearers working for the Halo Trust in Afghanistan's northern province of Baghlan and wounded more than a dozen. The workers were killed when gunmen burst into their compound on Tuesday, some days past, after they had spent a day removing mines from a nearby field. The Islamic State group, ISIS, said it had carried out the attack. Afghan officials had blamed the Taliban, who denied involvement. Halo Trust CEO James Cowan told the BBC that the local Taliban had, on the contrary, helped in the aftermath. Helped the Halo Trust recover is the intention. ISIS made the claim in a statement via its channels on the messaging app Telegram. Anatole, this story illustrates two pieces of this of what I'm being told is the next step for Afghanistan. The Taliban are attempting to demonstrate here that they are not mass murderers, that after the U.S. and its allies withdraw, that there will be order. It'll be Islamic State order. It will be a Sharia law order, but it will not be revenge killings. At the same time, if this claim by ISIS is accurate, and they can be unreliable, it suggests that within Afghanistan is not the Taliban in charge, but a separatist organization of mass murder that can, that carries out murders like this for ethnic reasons, for demographic reasons, for revenge reasons. And that group is a breakaway of Al-Qaeda, reminding all of us that the transnational Al-Qaeda was the reason the U.S. went into Afghanistan and now has left it with this confusion of who's the threat and who's in charge. So how do you measure the next steps? You are with the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. What happens now for the new state of Afghanistan under the independent rulers in Kabul? They have a president, but with gunmen ranging to kill. Halo Trust is an NGO that does a miraculous work clearing mines and unexploded ordnances around the world. There's nothing particularly partisan about it whatsoever. And the pose is if they'll murder Halo, they'll murder anyone. Good day to you.
Hello, John. Yes, I mean, I've seen Halo Trust at work in Afghanistan and have the most tremendous admiration for them. The mines that they're clearing are dangerous enough without, you know, the threat of murder. What I think this illustrates is, you know, that ISIS, or as it's called in Afghanistan, Daesh, does have the capacity to, you know, do a tremendous amount of damage. And, of course, that they have this bitterly, savagely sectarian agenda. The people killed were actually Shia Hazaras, local people working for Halo Trust. And they've been the subject of repeated attacks by ISIS, just as in neighboring Pakistan, Sunni extremists have repeatedly attacked the Shia there. Now, the Afghan Taliban are very, very strong rivals of ISIS. They're fighting each other for control of Afghanistan, or at the moment for control of certain areas. And there have been operations that I've heard about. I saw the aftermath of one where, in effect, the Taliban, Afghan government forces, and the US Air Force have, in practice, cooperated to attack ISIS forces, because ISIS is a threat to all of them. Now, the Taliban has renounced international terrorism. I think international terrorism against the West. The Indians always say, what about us, with some reason, and that's not so clear. But I think you can believe the Taliban when they say that they have renounced international terrorism, because I've talked to them, not to the top people, but to lower level people, and they say, look, you know, we know that harboring bin Laden and Al-Qaeda before 2001 was disastrous for us. It brought, you know, catastrophe and American invasion down on our heads. So, you know, don't worry, we're not going to do that again. And, you know, I think that makes sense. I think you can believe that. And you can also believe that the Taliban will, you know, go on fighting ISIS. One reason for that is that ISIS is largely made up of Pakistani extremists who were driven over the border into Afghanistan by the Pakistan army when it launched successful offensives against them in recent years. So Pakistan is also very strongly aligned against ISIS in Afghanistan. And so, of course, is Pakistan's main backer, China, which also is, for its own reasons, extremely hostile to international Islamist extremism. So you have quite a lineup against ISIS there. But as you say, I mean, the problem is that the situation in Afghanistan is so chaotic by now that ISIS has succeeded in rooting itself in various parts of the country and will be very difficult to root out. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, of course, is that while the Taliban are fighting against ISIS, they are also still fighting to overthrow the existing Kabul-based state. And the Kabul state, you know, has only been able to maintain itself so far against the Taliban, you know, with massive US military help. How long it will last without that help is anyone's guess.
The issue also turns on what happens afterwards. And I note that a news report in these last days, advocates for Americans held hostage overseas are raising concerns the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan will make it harder to bring home captives from the country. This is the James W. Foley Legacy Foundation. He was a man who was a hostage and then died in the hands of the jihadists. Examines the status of U.S. government efforts to secure the release of hostages and unlawful detainees in foreign countries. Well, I mention this only because we can't always presume that hostage-taking only has the motive of ideology or battlefield negotiations. There's also crime. There's also raising a lot of capital. We saw that in Iraq, that always the hostage-taking wouldn't be clearly a matter of ethnic dispute or battling the U.S. It could be just raising a lot of cash. How do you imagine Afghanistan handles this afterwards? Let's imagine the days ahead, the Afghan government, when they start taking hostages. How does the U.S. get itself involved? You know, you don't send in an airstrike for a hostage situation.
No, I mean, I think that what will have to happen is, I mean, obviously, hostages taken by ISIS or acquired by ISIS, that is very difficult because right. They will, make quite impossible demands. With the Taliban, and the Taliban, you know, has a way of also pressuring bandits or in some cases buying from bandits hostages and then keeping them itself. I mean, with the Taliban, hostage release will be part of, wider negotiations. you know, the Taliban will use its prisoners as bargaining counters. And in the end, that will be part of its, you know, wider demands for political recognition. And in the long run, that international aid to Afghanistan should be directed through the Taliban. Now, whether or when that kind of deal will be possible, heaven knows. It's part of the whole, you know, the total uncertainty surrounding the political future of Afghanistan after the U.S. withdrawal. The prisoners will be treated as political assets by the Taliban.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, a man with much experience in Afghanistan. He's been there many times and written about it over the years, and I'll look to him for guidance as we come into the unknowns of the day after the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.